they had a meeting in the third before, so it might not be fully charged.
It doesn't even write out.
Okay, we will find you one when you're seated.
Thank you.
Is everybody doing a quick mic check? Mine's better now, I think. If yours isn't working and you wanna raise your hand, we'll get you some help. You can tell it, but you press the button and the green light stays on.
Yours won't go up, did you?
Maybe you press it home? Yours will be on forever. What's a meeting without a little technical challenge, right, everybody? So, I'm gonna call the meeting to order now. It is September 9th at 4:33 PM, and this is the Ethics Commission meeting. Let's start as we always do with a pledge to the flag, so I'll stand. The flag's over there. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Just by looking around the room, I can confirm that we have quorum here. I didn't count, but I counted at least five. Nine, we're all here, which is great. Carla, will you start us off with an ethics thought for the day?
Yes, I will. Is the mic from?
Yeah, it sounds great.
I took it from Linda. All right, so I've been attending Ethics Commission meetings for 23 years now. And I think I've missed less than five in 23 years. The last decade, I've been giving the ethics thought. But this is a lot of pressure. This is my last meeting as director, my last ethics thought. So I thought, okay, you know, what can I leave the group with? This can't just be any old quote. I want to leave you with something that kind of wraps everything up. And so I thought, what has inspired me? And maybe I could share that with you. And there was a time in 2005 that we had a training here in Jacksonville for all the departmental ethics officers. And we had Michael Josephson from Character Counts in Los Angeles come, and he was our speaker. Michael Josephson is famous. His work, Character Counts, is in 30,000 schools in the United States. He lectures all over the world. And so he came for 40 of us to do a training, and it was 2 days. It was unbelievable. I mean, people were almost in tears at the end. So what he does at the end is he reads this, it's not a poem, it's a statement. And at the end of it, he reads the entire thing. He's so emotional. The group was in tears. And so I held on to this thing that he handed out, he autographed mine, and I'd see it around all the time. I shoved it in my desk, and I saw it because it was bright blue, kind of stuck out. And I kind of glance at it, and I think about it. And I won't read you the entire thing like he did and break into tears like he did, but I'll read you some parts of it, so that's my ethics thought. And it's talking about the end of your life. And you know what I'm thinking? Like, I was in my 40s when I did this training, so, you know, it's sort of like unreal. It's more real when you're 17. You start thinking about, you know, how will your life be measured? And he says, this is What Will Matter by Michael Josephson. And he said, so what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is not your confidence, but your character. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance, but of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. And so I'd like each one of you to have one of these tucked away. You know, like if you're in your 30s or 40s, you won't like, it won't be like really something that you'll pull out all the time. But as you get older, you know, look for the blue and see if reading this doesn't inspire you like it did me 15, 17 years ago to do something more than just think of myself and think of my locker room, but to think of our community.
A.J. Dixon, I was appointed by the sheriff, and you and I met earlier in the special place where only girls get to meet.
I'm very glad not on the Tennessee, Charlotte Coast State Council.
I'm Imani Boykin, and I'm an appointee to your justice commission.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, I'm Carlton DeVoe, I'm the mayor's appointee, I'm a lawyer in healthcare administration.
Hi, again, we met yesterday, Andrea Myers, I'm the training and program manager for the office.
Sandy Lumberjack, and I'm the deputy assistant for the office.
Hi, Judge, excuse me, Graham, yeah, we just met a few minutes ago, I'm Cherry Pollard, again, I'm the Office of General Counsel Attorney Representative for the Ethics Commission.
Thank you, Cherry. I'm Cody Overholfer, I'm nice to meet you again, Joe McHale, and I'm the deputy director of the office.
And I'm Carl Miller, the director for a couple more weeks, and welcome to my two friends.
Thank you, everybody. Next up on our agenda is minutes approval, the minutes were distributed, I think, earlier today. If you've had a chance to, review them, I reviewed them, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes, or does anybody want to make a motion of that sort?
I move that the minutes be approved.
Thank you, Eric, do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the minutes, anything catch anybody's eye? All those in favor of approving the minutes as they were submitted, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you. Next up are reports, and we're going to start with a report from the Echo Office, Carl and Kirby have updates for us.
Yes, we do have an update, and I was just going over the schedule of upcoming activities for the office,
the position with the requirements and the duties of the office, which are quite extensive and we're taking from the strategic plan. So we will send that out to you all for individually after we get it finalized.
Thank you.
That's our joint report.
Okay, thank you. Terry, do you have a report for us today?
Yes, I do. As promised, I actually worked on the extraordinary circumstances language that has come up, well, hasn't come up recently, but remember it came up a lot. And let's see if we can take one turkey and pass it around. I'm not asking for a vote today. This is just a draft just to get you guys an idea of what I was looking for. I will say that I took some of the language from other boards and commissions here for the city, the Waterway Commission, and the Tree Commission. And so they already have this in their bylaws. And so my recommendation is perhaps maybe to propose a new subsection A in part 4, attendance of our internal operating procedures. Or you may want it someplace else, but I think it should be in there because that pretty much guides the commission on their procedures. Just to go through it just real quickly, and again, not before a vote, you may even want to add something. But essentially, a quorum has to be, you know, physically present before the commission can consider a member who wants to appear, you know, via video or via telephone or some other communication media technology. And so these are the reasons. If you go on to little a, extraordinary circumstances could include COVID-19 pandemic, other health-related issues, either you're in military duty or deployment, extraordinary family obligation, or some type of unforeseen mandatory business obligation. And it could be something else that's not listed here as well. And again, the decision will be based upon you as the commission listening to the reasons why the member would like to appear via some type of communication media technology. And then you could, you know, deliberate and then either approve it or not, but on a case-by-case basis. So again, as promised, as requested, this is the proposed language, and just wanted to, and you may, I think you may want to send this to the committee, the internal operating committee. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Thank you for doing that for us. I appreciate your follow-up.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll have a report from the complaints committee. Darcy.
Yes. We have 4 pending cases right now. Although a meeting has not been set, we will set one shortly to address those cases.
Thank you. We're up to new business already. So for new business, Carla, I think you're going to help us get an update on Ethics Commission members' terms.
Sure. We have 3 members whose terms are expiring this year. I always hate to see members go. It's sad. I want everybody to stay on for a life like someone did. Alice, you know, for life, you get lifetime terms. But anyhow, some people are rotating off. Now, JJ has been reappointed by the sheriff, who said many
No, we're talking about your reappointment. You'll probably recall at our last meeting back in July, we talked about this, and we talked about the different ways that we could go about considering Latonya's reappointment. And at that meeting, we indicated a preference to consider the reappointment to a second term at the Ethics Commission level, similar to what we've done for other commission members, which is without appointing a nominating committee. But as we discussed then, the internal operating procedures indicate that the process is to have a nominating committee. So if we want to move forward, as we said we would, with discussing her reappointment amongst ourselves today, the first thing we would need to do is to have somebody make a motion to waive operating procedures rule 7 that states the nominating committee should be appointed.
So moved.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Okay, that's fantastic. All those in favor of the motion to waive the rules, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed? No. Excellent. So now that we have the motion, we can consider Latonya's reappointment. And so the internal operating procedures rules require people who are seeking reappointment to have had a positive history of performance within the commission, a commitment to the commission, and have good attendance, all those good things. So I'm sorry, no, just kidding. So as you know, you may not know actually, but Latonya's attendance at commission and committee meetings is, who can guess?
100%.
It's literally 100%. So she has 100% attendance, which is to be commended. Thank you. And then you may or may not know that she served as the chair of Open Government Committee. She did that in 2019 and in 2020. She was also an active member of the Legislative Committee both years. And she served on the Complaints Committee and the Ad Hoc Nominating Committee this year. So if you need more information about her service, let me know. But if you don't, I would entertain a motion to reappoint her to a second term.
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion? No discussion? All those in favor of the motion to reappoint Latonya to her second term, which would be effective January 1st of 2022, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? I didn't think that was. Yay, congratulations. Okay. I've gotten a note from Ms. Kirby. So as we go through our meeting, we're going to have a portion of the meeting where we recognize and celebrate Carla, but one of our distinguished guests has to go and has another commitment. So I want to introduce Councilmember Carlucci and ask him to come up to the podium and make whatever remarks he would like to make. The reason why I invite you to the podium is that we're live streaming the meeting, and we want anybody who happens to be watching the live stream to be able to see and hear what you have to say. Thank you so much to you for coming up to speak and for everybody for indulging me for the moment.
I have to be somewhere, but I'd rather stay here. But I have a town meeting at 5:30, and so I have a little something to read to my friend Carla. First, I want to thank the members of the Ethics Commission for your service to the city. It's made a big difference, and so I appreciate your all service. I know the pay is great, but I truly did. But my letter says it all. The younger politician loose up here talking without a script, right? But I did want to thank everybody for your service and on something that I envisioned a long time ago actually turning into this. It would never have happened had it not been for Carl Miller. So I get my readers out here. And I've got a little acknowledgement of her service is what I'm reading. And on the envelope, I've got two. thank you, Kirby, for allowing me to have a chance to read this to my friend Carl Miller. Ms. Miller, Carl, allow me to congratulate you and send best wishes for a happy retirement. And retired or not, I know your good work will continue. It was my privilege to help create the Jacksonville Ethics Commission in the early 90s, though I must admit that the office was like a Ferrari with no gasoline. Many people worked hard to build it, but you were the right person at the right time, with the right direction and courage to really move the needle on government, honesty, and integrity. And there is no doubt about that. Your dedication to ethics has been well demonstrated over the years, and I doubt if anyone else could have accomplished so much with so little. The budget used to be $10,000 for the Ethics Commission, and that was mostly, really living it up and buying some stationery and a little office space. Your dedication to ethics has been well demonstrated over the years, and as I said, I doubt anyone could accomplish so much starting with so little, but for that, I will always be grateful to you. Your impact as director has been widely felt, and if I may be so bold, history has been made. You stood in the gap on behalf of Jacksonville during the attempted sale of JEA, and that, my friend, will never be forgotten. That took courage and guts, and you just were not going to be deterred on behalf of the citizens of Jacksonville. That's not, I'm not ad-libbing now. Personally, I am thankful for our friendship, and I look forward to our continued sharing of wisdom in the years to come. I look forward to working with you as Jacksonville leaders together work to enhance the culture of integrity that you have instilled in our city. Please remember this, you were not built to sit in the shade. So celebrate and then get back to work. Your friend always, Matt.
Thank you.
It was. Back in those days, we had 7 council committees. I think we got 4 or 5 now, but anyway. The council president assigned it to every committee. He didn't like the bill. Back then, nobody liked ethics. Assigned it to every committee. That's called loving a bill to death. He just knew it wouldn't make it through every committee. And then he put it before the Charter Revision Commission. I mean, the only thing he missed was a property appraisal or assessment board, But we got it through, and John Delaney was a big help back in those days. But it came from a grand jury report, just a little history. It was a recommendation of the grand jury, and I have a penchant for taking studies and recommendations from different things off the shelf and using them. And I read through a grand jury report and recommended that Jacksonville have a local ethics commission. So that's how it started back in 1992. Ed Austin signed it into law, and then it crawled along, and then Carla came and supercharged it, and Kirby and your staff and everybody has just been super. And the team and the people that sit on the committee, I'm very grateful for your service and standing in the gap when somebody has to. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm turning back to the agenda. I'm not sure if I congratulated you adequately, so congratulations on being reappointed, and we're blessed to have you. So I'm going to pop ahead to the next item, which is preliminary information regarding officer elections, and Carla and Kirby are going to fill us in on that.
Thank you, Ellen. This is just some preliminary information on the
says that your elections of officers for next year has to occur no later than your November or December meeting, and since we're not scheduled for a meeting in December, the elections will occur in November. Pursuant to Rule 5, the chair can poll members as to their interest in serving as chair or vice chair for the next year. And if more than one member expresses an interest in serving as either chair or vice chair, a nominating committee will be created to make a recommendation to the commission for a slate of officers.
And this is like we're sharing this side, and I wanted to say that Ellen has done an outstanding job this year, but it's really weird if you are the chairman during a pandemic year and we're kind of not geared up. We've had a few of our chairs serve two terms in a row, which is allowed by our internal operating procedures. I haven't talked to Ellen about this, but there is a possibility, of course, that Ellen could serve a year, and hopefully next year we'd actually have, like, you know, we wouldn't have to be in these boxes, and we would be able to, you know, kick into some of our activities that really have been a little bit on the back burner because it's hard doing everything during the pandemic for sure. So I think there's definitely the possibility that Ellen, would you be interested?
I would be interested, but of course I would be happy to hear from the group if someone wants to serve as chair, and if we should appoint a nominating committee, I'm totally open to that for anybody who's interested, but I'm happy to do it, yeah.
It's chair and vice chair, and so if all of you are thinking about this and all want to run, just please call. please call Kirby, and kind of get a feel for it. And then sometimes we don't have anyone that wants to step up for a certain position, and so we have to like twist arms, you know. So, but please call Kirby if you're interested in either the chair or the vice chair position, and I'm sure we'll get that handled next meeting.
And normally I would offer to share with somebody who might be interested what it's like, what the challenges are, what the fun parts are, what the hard parts are, but it's a weird position to be in because we can't talk to each other. So I don't know if there's a way for me to summarize that to you that could be, I don't know what to do there, but my spirit is willing, but I think I'm not allowed.
As long as you know that you're meeting here.
We could have a meeting, we could talk about that.
Notice a meeting, and if no one shows up, that's
then I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know the answer. Okay. So that's the end of our new business. The next thing up, I was going to invite public comments, but just to preface the invitation for public comments, this is not the part where I want to hear about your thoughts about Carla. You're going to have the opportunity to make those comments in just a moment. This is more like public comments like we would have at the end of a meeting if somebody wants to share feedback about anything like we normally do. And if you have feedback about Carla, you are going to get your chance soon, I promise. Now, I can't really see well in this box. I will say that my anxiety about being in the box has gone down tremendously, so I'm happy about that, but I can't see if anybody wants to make comments. It looks like there are none, but I don't want to cut anybody off if I'm mistaken. Can you see any of those?
I don't see.
Okay. Okay. I said I was comfortable in the box, but I'm getting to climb out of it now, so that may be part of why I was happy.
here softly, the Lord stay, my good and faithful servant, I'm so proud of you this day. Eric, you wanna come in?
Sure.
Good afternoon, I'm gonna start by reading a statement from Kyle Billy, the council auditor, retired. Carla, when I think about your performance as a city ethics officer, two words come to mind, confident and unwavering. You are confident in your knowledge of the law and you are unwavering in performing your duties as ethics officer despite the pressure put on you or the obstacles put in your path. You should be proud of the job that you did. I know that you are under a great deal of pressure at times, and I believe that a lesser person would have caved under that pressure. Thank you for being steadfast and always doing the right thing. Thank you for your friendship and support and for your many years of service. Congratulations on your retirement. Sincerely, Kyle Billy. And I'd just like to add, I have not had the opportunity to work with Carla for very long, but it's been a real pleasure to serve on the commission and get to know her. And I look forward to dragooning her services and having her prestige in my ethics and public policy class at Texas University. So, be warned.
Thank you. I've seen you all week.
Yes, I was gonna pick you next.
Thank you.
I'm just so blessed that I get to be at this meeting that you're my point. All right, so first, Carla, I'm gonna read a statement from Chris Anderson, Florida Commission on Ethics, Executive Director. Thank you, Carla, for all of your insight, discussions, and energetic and upbeat persona shared with me over many years. Your service to your city and the state of Florida is much appreciated and will be greatly missed. Kind of emotional moment, especially with Dawn here taking pictures. All right, this is for me. On behalf of our community and myself personally, I am so grateful for all your hard work in implementing and shepherding the enactment of the ethics standards in this community. Your leadership and vision have been instrumental and unrivaled. Thank you so much for being you, for having the strength, tenacity, and unwavering determination to make ethics and ethical behavior an expectation, not a luxury. I am honored to be your friend and to have seen your efforts in action. May you continue to thrive, inspire, and educate others as passionately as you have. Love you, Pete. Laura Dyer, City Council Department.
Although I comprehended the intent of the code, the detailed requirements were extremely difficult to interpret, she said, then I met you. You had a vision of weaving ethics into local government to not only educate, but to change behavior by changing the way you think. You recognized that officials and employees alike need to be educated of requirements and restrictions outlined in the city's ethics code. You envisioned a type of pyramid to provide training and information to the masses, hence the creation of the DEOs. You trained elected officials and DEOs individually and as a group on code requirements, and you facilitated dialogue to gauge the current ethics environment throughout local government. You translated legalese into words that everyone could comprehend. Your goal was to make ethics a part of every decision and subsequent action by getting it into our conversations, and it worked. You have always answered every question and addressed every concern, and you never failed to provide encouragement and support when needed. There were many times that I, as CEO, needed guidance for specific issues, and you were always quick to respond and always stepped in without hesitation when I needed you to. And the most valuable statement you ever made to me was, quote, just because it is legal does not mean it is ethical. Our goal is to imprint ethics into the conscience of every city official and employee so that it becomes second nature, end quote. I've never forgotten that statement, and I've repeated to others many times. You have demonstrated strength and courage through some of our city's most challenging moments, even when your opinions were not popular. There were many times when you questioned why you were putting yourself through the stress, and many of us who witnessed it questioned it ourselves. But what you accomplished during the last 20 plus years is the answer to that question. Ethics is part of our culture, now more than ever, and it is a direct result of your determination and dedication to our city. As I prepare for my own retirement later this month, I'm reflecting over my career to determine whether I feel accomplished enough, added sufficient value, made a difference, and or changed things for the better during my tenure. As the last remaining original CEO who was there with you from the beginning, I can confirm that you far surpassed everything you set out to do, and you did not stop there. You continuously strive to improve the ethics code and ethics program, and you saw those improvements through to the end. Your success has been a privilege to witness. On a personal note, I will miss working with you, but I will always consider you my friend. I wish you the very best at retirement life has to offer. Laura Dyer, City Council Department of Ethics Officer.
Thank you. Mayor Williams?
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
Our first statement for me is Mike Hightower's of Jack. Carla, congratulations on your well-deserved, well-earned retirement. Thank you for your extraordinary service to our city. Carla, you not only set the bar for true ethical excellence in public service, you define it every day in your tireless, courageous, continuous, flawless role modeling of professional and personal behavior. To borrow a key theme of Leadership Forum, but for Carla Miller, our city reputation would have been scarred and tainted for decades to come had you not courageously stepped up and stood tall for what was ethically correct during the questionable and dark chapter of the JEA saga. Carla Miller, you saved the day. Thank you. Your unwavering commitment to integrity in the process and transparency made a critical and at inordinate great personal professional risk to you. The song Against All Odds best exemplifies your successful legacy in this most horrendous municipal debacle. There are two famous quotes that best describe the extraordinary legacy to retire as the first director of the Jacksonville Ethics Commission. I add my congratulations and admiration for your outstanding achievements. Of all your many fine qualities, including integrity, intellect, industry, imagination, and initiative, I most appreciate your moral courage. From the first moment you advocated for our city's need for an ethics culture, you faced political opposition and financial challenges. Always with grace, energy, and courage, you stayed the course of your vision. Your moral courage through the many stages and events of developing and executing Jacksonville's ethics program showed most clearly and recently during the JDA episode. You are a blessing to Jacksonville citizens and all who know you. May the next chapter of your career and life continue to be professionally and personally successful. Thank you.
Yes, if you guessed correctly, I was going to have to know.
Hi, Carol. This is first from Tom Paul, former member of the Jacksonville Ethics Commission. Wow, 24 years of amazing and selfless service to our great city, and more. You helped our city, other cities, and even the theorists at Harvard understand how to lead the government. Not only were you a beacon of how to behave, but you also intercepted wrongdoing, stopping it cold. You routinely blasted through the complex and opaque actions of our leaders by shining a light and telling us what was really going on. A huge thank you for your 24 years of service to us, to our city, and too many others. And again, that's from Town Hall. For me, I'd like to, number one, congratulate you on your retirement. But what I can say, having joined this commission a couple of years ago, is the words that I keep hearing, integrity, unwavering, inspirational, those are words that you have that permeated this ethics commission. I think it permeated this ethics commission and the work that you do. So I want to thank you for allowing me and our colleagues to express our views and to challenge us and to make us think critically about our city leaders and how we're going to handle our ethics. I know that you would do great at the Department of State, and just so that you know, I also teach, and I expect you to talk, teach my ethics students too.
Thank you. They have two job offers already. Carlton, bring the rest of them up.
Serving as chair in 2012.
board would be DMAC. Jay Stowe, as the new CEO, me as the leadership, part of the new leadership team at JEA, personally thank you and wish you the best in all the world has to offer, so thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
John, Mr. Benny, can I invite you to come up?
Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank the ethics office for inviting me to come today, and also inviting me to submit a letter for your collection. I want to first thank you, Carla, for your endless contributions that you've made to this city, most of which were in the arena of ethics, and I want to congratulate on what is probably a very well-deserved retirement. You may not remember this, and my memory may be a bit fuzzy, but I got the opportunity to meet you on my first tour of duty on the city council. Towards the end of my term, I think you were volunteering for Mayor Delaney at the time, and we ended up, I think, repealing the ethics code 602 and replacing it with a newer version. I think John Jolly was the author of the legislation. But it took a while to get it through council, and I think that was one of the very last things I got the chance to vote on, or vote for, I should say, like within a month of the end of my term. But I did get a chance to meet you, and in that initial meeting, I walked away with an impression of your deep passion for ethics. And I'm like, how can anybody be that crazy about ethics? I left the council, and I watched the world of city government from afar, on the news, on the front page of the newspaper, and an opportunity came along for me to fill a seat that was vacated when a judge asked a council member to resign. And leading up to that election, that special election, there was a lot of things in the news with the current mayor at the time that dealt with cronyism and contracts being awarded that weren't probably awarded properly. And when I got reelected in 2008, one of the first people to call me to come and talk to me about ethics was you. Now, I was telling my wife that I was going to write this letter and come and talk to you, and I'm a meticulous record keeper, and I said, I don't remember what that exact day was, but I bet I've got it written down on my calendar. Which I say, I say every day. And I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it, and then I realized when Carla calls you for an appointment, it's like, I want to come and talk to you about something. And I would say, well, you know, what days and times do you have available? And inevitably, she'd say, well, I'm free right now. I can come right now. Which is why it's not on my calendar, because that's probably what happened. So, when I had this meeting with you, coming back to City Council, we talked about, you came to my office and you laid out your ethics plans for the next several years. And you also expressed some concern that some of my colleagues did not appear to be very supportive of your initiatives. And when I told you, and by the way, let me back up and say, as I came back to City Council, these news stories included articles about Carl and how she used to be this former U.S. prosecutor, so not knowing her that well and probably gaining much of my knowledge of her through the press. The U.S. prosecutor, I mean, you don't mess with those people. Those people are like tough. So we have this meeting, she lays out her plan, she tells me about her concerns with my colleagues not being supportive, and I said, listen, I want to be pro-ethics, I'm 100% behind you on this initiative, let me know what I can do. And you know what she does? She writes down Brian in my office.
Aww.
You remember that? And,
No, of course.
Well, I think Brian. So in addition to not really knowing how to handle that
so much, it's just passion that can't be replicated. So I think you and I teamed up as kind of a, I'd like to be, I mean, I don't know if I qualify for the Junior Ethics Officer Award or not. I tried really hard. You and I teamed up on a lot of issues, and I hope I fulfilled my commitment to you that day of backing your initiatives, and we did a lot of things, and I will commend you for, and you've heard it already today, standing tough in the face of criticism and political adversity.
And whenever I needed guidance, she was always there to support me, and I looked to her as a mentor. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank you, Carla, for all your dedication, and truly understand and know that you matter. And we will know and remember you throughout the years. Your legacy makes a difference here in this city, and we so appreciate you. And as you read all your letters and enjoy, I just got some chocolates, and make sure you share these with Dawn.
You know her very well.
Thank you very much. That looks like a heavy bag.
Yes.
Thank you
very much.
I'm going to my additional distinguished guests, now sort of the former Ethics Commission members. Tom Paul, could you join us?
Thank you. Just to add to what I wrote earlier, just a huge thank you for everything you've done. Your dedication is, well recognized. Everyone, appreciates all that you've done. You have served as a true North Star for everyone. We really appreciate that. But one of the things that comes to mind when I think of you is, I wouldn't say a quiet confidence, I don't think that's right, a calm confidence. And I think you help people see through what oftentimes can be viewed as complex. You make it very simple. You take what's covered over by someone trying to make things seem difficult, and you break right through that. And you shine a light on things so that people can tell what's really going on. And you've done a great job of that over the years. Getting A is just the most recent example, but there were many, many, many examples before that. And I think anyone who knows you knows there's not five different versions of Carla. You are authentic. You are you, and you live it and breathe it, and your passion comes through. Thank you for all the great work that you've done. Thank you for getting a great mentee in Kirby to really continue your legacy. So thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for your my personal relationship with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do wonder, though, if Linwood Roberts would appreciate the maze that this room has become. Crown Carla, the leader with no peer. Carla's passion, other than that for Don, is equal justice under the law. Jacksonville, indeed, much of the world, is indebted to Carla's tireless work in that pursuit. Her justice focus is public ethics. For too many years to count, Carla pursued her vision as a volunteer ethics leader. Finally, in later years, she was compensated and out of staff. Jacksonville in particular is a better place to live because of Carla's passion. Congratulations and have a great life.
Don is coming in, Don. So he's an extra special distinguished guest, and my critical thinking skills were not working well. So when I introduced you, I didn't know who I just met you, and that's how this happened.
stepped down from my role as commissioner. I continue to attend meetings periodically and have watched Carla navigate many difficult issues over the years. Her incredible insight and diplomatic skill is what I believe has allowed the ethics office to flourish in the years since. Carla has become an accomplished presenter and educator, and the 2-year period as a network fellow at the Harvard Ethics Center was fabulous. As her spouse, I was lucky enough to attend many of the Harvard activities and consider this to be a key factor in her growth in the role as director of Jacksonville's ethics program. In short, I'm immensely proud of Carla's achievements in this field and look forward to working with her on other exciting good governance projects. With much admiration, your husband.
So let me say before we part, So much of me is made of what I have learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. And whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend.
Carla, if there is a person who deserves retirement, it is you. You dedicated so much of your time and energy. You were a one-of-a-kind boss. I know this is not a final goodbye since you're staying on as an advisor, but I just want to thank you for being such a great boss.
I am Andrea Myers, and most of you do know that I'm the training manager, program manager, but I'm also, and have been since 2013, the executive director of an incredible nonprofit called Global Jacks. And so today I'm wearing kind of both hats. So Carla, on behalf of everyone at Global Jacks, on the occasion of your semi-retirement from the city of Jacksonville, we want to say that you are an international treasure. Over the years, you have influenced hundreds and hundreds of leaders on every continent in over 150 countries and made the world a more ethical and transparent place for all. I also want to take a moment to note how much you've meant to me personally. I remember clearly the time we first met. It was 2007, and it was my birthday. You were being honored by Global Jacks that night as the Citizen Diplomat of the Year. In your acceptance speech, you talked about global efforts to fight corruption, including the most powerful story of your friends in Iraq. Since then, I've had the privilege to hear you inspire hundreds of leaders from all over the globe with your presentations on authenticity, hope, and courage. Most recently, I was deeply moved by the presentation you gave to a group of multi-regional women in government, in which you recounted your experience with the attempted sale of JEA. It earned you a virtual standing ovation from them. And for over a decade, your name has come up constantly in State Department circles, both when I'm attending conferences and also in program evaluation, after program evaluation, where participants say that their brief time with you, often no more than an hour and a half, was literally the highlight of their entire visit to the United States. It's no surprise to me that you've been invited by the U.S. Department of State to take your message global. I cannot overstate what an honor it has been to work with you over the last decade, shaping a more transparent world, except that somehow I have also been lucky enough to work with you directly for the past 4 years at the city. Thank you for mentoring me and encouraging me always. I know this is just the beginning of a new phase for you and that the best is somehow yet to come. I can't wait to see what's next, but regardless, I sincerely hope I'm along for the ride. Sincerest thanks and peace. Me.
Going to read from and then I'll come over and present it to you. But this is a certificate of appreciation and admiration presented by the Jacksonville Ethics Commission to Carla Miller in recognition of over two decades of outstanding service to the city of Jacksonville as the founder and director of the city's ethics program and office. So from us to you, thank you.
Thank you.
Carlos.
We wanted to have a party, right? But there's so many people that want to really celebrate you. And so, in lieu of that, given the pandemic, what we did was collect wishes from almost 60 people in the last 4 days. We expect that to continue to grow. But we have compiled them into a beautiful book for you to keep. And we'll keep adding to this as more and more comes in. But we, you know, we've read a lot of them tonight, but there's still dozens and dozens more we didn't have time to read. And so this is for you from all of us.
Okay. And I, listen, when I'm on a rocking chair every time I'm home, I'll just get this little book, I'll start reading it, and I really appreciate everyone's thoughts.
Andrea is queuing up the video that was referenced earlier. We're going to play just about 5 minutes, and then we're going to invite Carla to make some additional remarks. I snuck in the back because I had more time and got a bun cake, and again, I invite you all to do that as well.
Spot on. You are responsible for what the Ethics Office has accomplished and will accomplish in the happy retirement, Carla. I remember my first interview with the ethics office. I remember you calling me. I have so many fond memories of such a wonderful opportunity to serve this city, and that is largely due to you, Carla. And yes, I feel special because that's the way you make us feel. You make all of us feel that way, even though we feel like it's an individual feeling coming from just you to us. And that's also the way that you've treated our city. You are beautiful, brilliant, kind. I love the way you would gently propose things to us. And then, of course, we would just follow through and do them. Carla, the lessons that you have taught me, I apply on the bench daily. I am forever grateful for you. I'm grateful for what you have done for this city. Our city has been blessed. Many other cities have been blessed because of you and your sacrifices. So enjoy your retirement from Rhonda People's Waters.
I am actually shy and a little bit introverted, and nobody believes that really, but I am shy and introverted as my nature, but when I care about something deeply, then I'll reach out and I'll speak to a crowd of 1,000 if I have to, if I feel passionate about something. And I do feel passionate about ethics, but the thought that came to mind is when I think of ethics and the last 20 years of what has happened here in the city, it seems like a there were so many times of like upset like that, and I think that at least 50 times my husband Don pushed me out the door and gave me encouraging words. And you know, then there's help from a different level, like Steve Posada is sitting here, and God love him. Steve has been my IT backup for so many things here in this building. And every time when something goes down and I start to look like, you know, the whole thing's falling apart, Steve comes and makes the whole thing happen. I mean, every single one of you have given me encouragement. And I have been thinking recently, you know, trying to put things in perspective as you do when you move on to a new stage. And I thought that there's really three parts of ethics and doing the types of activities that we have to do. And they divide into mind, heart, and soul. And mind, and this is for all of our professions, really, mind is your competence and your grasp of the facts and the information that you need to do the job. And so, you know, it takes years to become competent, certainly in Chapter 112 in the Florida Ethics Code, and the lingo of ethics, the intricacies of what you're trying to train people on, that takes a lot of time for the mind, for the intellectual grasp of what you're doing. But that's not enough. The next part is the heart. And the word courage in French means heart, coeur, heart. And if you don't have like that determination and the courage when you get hit with things, and we all do, and you know how easy it is to just say, oh, I'll let someone else handle that. You know, I don't want to do it. And so many times, like in The Wizard of Oz, Kirby, I was like the lion, like swinging my tail and worrying and like worrying about things. And you have to have that heart and courage to speak truth to power, to give voice to values, to see that the injustices get handled that we all see on such a frequent basis. But more importantly is the soul. So we have the mind and heart. The soul is the purpose. And I'll share something that some of you know about. Kirby certainly knows about it, and my staff does. During JEA, it was a two-month period of time of constant pressure. You don't want to be going to that meeting. You don't want to be taking notes. You don't want to be going here. We don't want you here. We don't want you there. We don't want you to write an email about how there's conflicts of interest. And push, push, push. And then one night before Thanksgiving, I got a threatened call. And basically, I was told that there was a campaign to destroy my reputation the next week. And I just, you know, there were details of like this whole thing. And I hung up the phone, and Don came in and he said, you're supposed to make me some pies for Thanksgiving. I said, you know, I don't know what to do. I have these threats. I haven't done anything. You know, I haven't done anything. But they said, well, that's not consequential because things can be made up. And so I worried. I called law enforcement, called the Tom Jean, and I said, there's something afoot. I don't know what it is. But it was to prevent me from starting to attend the negotiation meetings at JEA that were happening the day after Thanksgiving. So I went anyhow. And I started to see, as a former federal prosecutor, I started to see things that were not clicking. They were not making sense to me. And so I took more notes. And then I was told I had to turn over my notes. I said, I'm not giving you my notes. And you know, another battle. And I'm going to go up to Atlanta, sit in on the negotiations, which Lisa went up with me to sit in on the negotiations. As I was there the first day, it started to seem to me like things were really not right from my perspective as a former prosecutor. And so I started typing up some more notes, and I was really quite overwhelmed with the intensity of what was happening and the threats that I had received. So that night, we ended up about 6 o'clock, and I left to walk 2 blocks to my hotel. It was about 40 degrees and raining. I did have an umbrella, wet, under threat, not happy. And I went up to my room and I cut myself on something and I started bleeding. So I sat down and I was wet, cold, tired, bleeding. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I could be on a cruise. I could be doing lots of fun things with my husband. We could go to Australia. I must be out of my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. I have had it. And I sat there pillable. And then all of a sudden, there was like this, like little like, vibration. It was like a little, like, you can't quit. And it was like when I talk about the mind and the heart and the soul, it was like the soul part. It was like the part, the purpose. You know, like why you get motivated to do something. And I hadn't heard of that clearly, but it was like, your purpose is to fight corruption. Your purpose has always been to fight corruption in every job you've been in. And I think of all the things, because corruption causes financial irregularities and it causes people to suffer, children to suffer, senior citizens to suffer, people in the community that are disadvantaged suffer because of corruption. And I have, from my very beginning of my career, wanted to fight corruption. And so I heard that, like, loud and clear. And it's like a higher calling in yourself. It's not about you. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about anything. It's about that higher purpose that you can tap into. And once you have that, it really gives you the strength to go forward. And so the next day I started typing emails to general counsel on what I observed at JDA, and that in my opinion the plug had to be pulled and the negotiations had to stop. And I came back 10 times stronger. And I mentioned that to you because of that power of tapping into your purpose. And so I know all of you have that within you and you've tapped into it before. And the more you can kind of hone that skill and the more you can tap into it, the more you can contribute. So I'm just happy to know all of you and to have been able to contribute. Thanks.
Thank you, Carla, for this wonderful remark and for everyone who came and celebrated Carla and everybody who came in spirit. Our meeting has ended. I feel like my Catholic school girls got to go in peace. give Carla a key like and please take a little bar cake.
Or ten.
They're delicious.
I'll take all the extra.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, Cindy, you want to stop?